Good morning. Good morning. Beautiful day out there. A little cold, but we expect that. All right. Busy day today. If you live in the town of Acushnet, you've got an election today. If you live in the town of Mattapoisett, you have an election today. If you live in the town of Lakeville, you have an election today. If you live in the town of Carver, you have an election today. You'll be voting however you choose to vote, on a debt exclusion, a Prop 2.5 override. It's a temporary 30 years to pay for the for a new school, Old Colony, the vocational school. I'll remind you a couple times throughout the day. Hopefully you know, I think we've done a lot here on the radio station. And there's been a lot on social media. I'm not going to make any suggestions to how you vote. That would be irresponsible. It's going to be an individual personal decision. Your personal finances, how you feel about it, all of that. And what I would suggest is you go to the Old Colony, just Google Old Colony, or check in whatever search engine you use. Put in Old Colony Vocational High School, and you'll find there's a tax calculator on there. You can literally figure out, based on the value of your home, the location of your home, what town you're in, how much should this pass, you will owe in additional taxes. Most people, I think, have done it by now. Some people have given me the feedback on their own personal tax increase. You should do that and do it sometime this morning. And then you'll have all the information, I would imagine, that you need, because you know what your own personal finances and children and how you feel about children in general, and how you feel about education, to make an informed decision. But by all means, go vote. All right, go vote. But go to the tax calculator, figure it out, and if you want, I don't know. I'm not going to tell you anything what to do, but by all means, if you want the most information, go to the website. It'll figure out for you how much your additional tax will be should you be in favor of this, or if the majority of the people are in favor of it, regardless of your decision. And we'll talk about it throughout the morning. The mayor will be here at 11 o'clock. By his request, he's got a mayor's conference tomorrow. And so we'll have the mayor here at 11 o'clock. The reason I wasn't here yesterday. So as most of you know, I have late stage kidney failure, meaning I'm dying. But I'm treated with dialysis, and I go over there 3 days a week. I have a pretty good experience with it, and I'm happy for it. Wouldn't matter if I didn't like it. It's the only thing keeping me alive. So I do it 3 days a week. And the alternative to that is to get a transplant. So I've been in that process for a little while. And I went yesterday to Boston. My good friend Kevin Cobza drove me up, sat with me through all of it. He's a hell of an American, really good guy, Kevin Cobza. Many of you know him as a recently retired lieutenant here on the Fairhaven Police Department. And he's a great navigator through Boston and through the halls of Tufts Medical, where I went and asked great questions, things I wasn't thinking of, and really value Kevin. So yesterday I had an appointment. It was an all-day appointment. I got up there. Kevin and I left at 4:30 in the morning. Got to Boston. Got parked and all that. And the first visit was at 7:45 in the morning. And we get out of there at about 1 o'clock. It was an all-day thing. Met with multiple surgeons. Whole team up at Tufts. All really dynamic, remarkable people. I was impressed with the whole thing. I know Kevin was. We talked about it on the ride home. Nutritionists, pharmacist, social worker, nursing team, surgeons. They have a, they got it down, right? And then they took me for medical tests. And, you know, I felt really positive leaving there. But most of the questions they ask you, most of the tests are elimination tests, right? Eliminating you. I've had a lot of medical issues, and it's quite possible that I'm not a good candidate. That news is still waiting, right? I don't know. They'll tell me. They'll get the test results back and all of that. And I'm hopeful. But here's the thing. And many of you have been through other medical things as well, similar to mine. And, you know, I have no control. Well, I control what I can control. The rest of it, I give to God. And if it's for me, it's for me. If it's not, it's not. The reality of it is I'm very comfortable with dialysis. I'll continue with it. Should I not get a transplant? And it's possible the transplant won't take, or that I'll wear the thing out through normal life and need another one. I mean, it's really, and you have to go back to dialysis, right? I mean, it is a brave new world for me, but I had a really remarkable experience yesterday, and we'll see. We'll see, and I'll keep you guys informed. And I appreciate all of you that pray for me and help me out in other ways. I've got a dynamic group of friends who are always looking out for me and making my life better, more tolerable, the hard parts. And I love every one of you, and I appreciate it. And you guys have been with me since I first got the China virus years ago now. And I appreciate it. I really appreciate it. So anyway, I'll answer any questions that you have. You probably have none. I don't know that much. I just had the appointment yesterday. We went through it all day. And I haven't gotten any answers, really. I got a number of positive responses from the transplant team, but they haven't got their test results back for any of the multitude of tests that they gave me yesterday. Any one of them could eliminate me. Any one of them. So I'm all right with that. I really am. They want to give organs to the people that can best survive with them. And I'm all right with that. I really am. I would hope it's me, but if it's not, I'm all right with that. And I'll keep you guys posted. In the meantime, I'll just do dialysis like I'm going to do it today. And I have no problem with dialysis. They're wonderful over there. And it's like it wouldn't matter if I did have a problem with it, right? Because I need it to live. And the fact that it's not a bad experience for me is a bonus. All right. The other thing is, and we'll talk more with the mayor here when he's here at 11 o'clock, is the death of Bruce Oliveira. Look, I had tremendous respect for Bruce. Tremendous respect. He was a guy who stayed within the system, got things done, and we are all poorer for his death. He was a really solid guy, got things done, and he was a regular listener to the program, and he guided me. oftentimes if I was a little off, he was one of those guys. If I was asking a question, I could ask a question out loud, okay, on the air. And if he was listening, he would text me. And similar to Fred Kalis and other people who haven't passed away, who do it, you know. And I really appreciate that. And Bruce is a guy I could call. He was a guy, if I heard something, I might not break it on the air, because I knew if I told Bruce, he would get it done, and it wouldn't need a lot of public outcry, right? That if I heard of something happening that I thought was wrong or he should know about, I would call him or text him. And I knew he would take care of it. That it didn't need a lot of parents getting upset or things like that. That if I knew and it was wrong, I would tell him, because I knew he would get it done. Solve it, right? The best way, right? He would get it done. And we're all going to miss Bruce. We really are. And the mayor will be here at 11 o'clock, and we can talk more about Bruce then. I'm sure the mayor will want to do that. I know he had a nice post up at Facebook. Too bad, right? Really too bad. And I know his brother was on the Lakeville School Committee. I used to see his wife regularly at social events, political events. I spent a lot of time talking with his wife, I guess going back a year ago now, just took Attorney Quinn's party out in Westport. So we'll talk more about Bruce and a lot of other things going on in the city with the mayor of New Bedford, who will be here in the 11 o'clock hour. It's a day early, but we get the mayor a day early. All right. I see you on hold, but I'm going to take a break, and then we'll come back. Right? We'll come back. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500. Welcome
back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. You're the audience. You know, Lanigan & Company is a full-service real estate brokerage and development company, serving clients of all sizes. Full service means that we stay with our clients over the long haul. For us at Lanigan & Company, the relationship truly begins after the closing. Owning real estate, whether it's your home or a commercial property, requires maintenance, administrative, financial, and repairs. Lanigan & Company is there to help you preserve and enhance the value of your property at the time of and after the closing. Visit the website, right? Visit the website or call Jay directly today. Call today to get started with Lanigan & Company. Now, a growing part of the business at Lanigan & Company is helping baby boomers like you downsize. This is a process that requires preparing larger homes for sale and working with folks and their families to secure smaller, more manageable homes, condominiums, and apartments. Logistics, compassion, and collaboration really drive these transactions. And Lanigan & Company is uniquely qualified and positioned to help people like you coordinate all of the moving parts to effectively and seamlessly downsize. Visit the website or call Jay Lanigan today. Get started. All right, let's go to the phones. Good morning. Thank you for holding.
Hi, Chris.
Hello.
How you doing? First of all, I'd like to tell you, you couldn't ask for a better friend than Kevin Cobza.
I agree with you, sir.
And I honestly think that, you know, he's a man for the job when you need help. Second of all, I'm sure it's still early, but is there a road to take to find out if someone is compatible for any kind of a transplant. So, meaning a donation.
Yeah, I've got two live donors coming forward. And again, part of the process yesterday was learning about how that all works. So that is a little ways away. They get a test to make sure that my body can withstand it, you know, and all of that I'm a suitable person. And then we'll go forward. But yeah, I will let that be known. But I have two people that have already come forward to be donors. But again, I learned a lot about it yesterday. I already kind of knew because I've been asking questions. But it's an amazing process, really.
Well, you have a third.
Thank you. Thank you.
If I could be of any service and help, there's not too many people in this world I would do this for, but I've been respecting you since the first time I listened to you.
Thank you.
And I honestly think that if I was to do this, it would be for someone exactly like you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Curious on how to get in touch with the right person to find out.
Yeah. You can get in touch with me here at the radio station and, or through Facebook, something like that. And then I can put you in contact with the right people.
Okay. I will contact you on Facebook.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Have a great day.
Good luck with your, future endeavors.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. That's what an amazing gesture. Yeah, it's so we're talking about me getting a kidney transplant. And again, I really appreciate the dialysis technicians, the nurses, the doctors, all that they do for me to keep me alive and going, right? Keep me making jokes here on the air at other people's expense and exposing things. So I'll keep you guys informed. Yesterday was my meeting with the transplant team, the people going to handle it, the surgeons and all of that. We're a long way away, but hopefully it'll move quickly, one way or the other, one way or the other. But I appreciate that, gentleman, quite a bit. Okay, so guys, if you live in the towns of Rochester, Acushnet, Mattapoisett, Lakeville, or Carver, you have an election today. The question on the table is, and the ballots are going to be all different, but basically, are you willing to pay by raising Prop 2.5, the levy, for a 30-year period to pay the bonds for a new Old Colony vocational school? Now, that is an entirely personal decision, okay? An entirely personal decision. You have to make that for you, because it's a pretty significant financial situation for most people, not everybody. And it's a major decision for the towns, whether to build another school and offer more shops. But you got to pay for it. You got to pay for it. And what I would suggest is that you go to the Old Colony website today and look at the tax calculator. It'll tell you right down to the nickel how much you specifically are going to owe based on where you live and the value of your home. If you don't know the value of your home, you could guesstimate it. You could go to the website for the assessors in your town, and it's right there. Look at the old tax bill. Again, it's a guesstimate, all right? I'll tell you that a friend of mine, who's a knowledgeable guy in Bosom Municipal Government, he figured out that his taxes in Rochester for his family will rise by $900 based on where he lives and the value of his home. He'll have to pay an additional $900 annually for the new school. But I would, again, you have an election today if you live in Rochester, Lakeville, Mattapoisett, Acushnet, Carver. whether or not you want to build an old colony, a new old colony school. And there's been a lot of public presentations on it. We've had a lot of conversation here. It is an entirely personal vote. You have to figure out what you're going to do, what's in the best interest of your family, and where you are in life. Right? That's just the way it is. What do you think of, and we could take calls on that. It's kind of open phones. A lot going on. What do you think of the Sheriff Haru story? Settling the lawsuit with the illegal alien detainees that were in custody of Tom Hodgson, and they rioted. That's what happened. They rioted. In fact, my recollection is one of them, at least one of them, assaulted Sheriff Hodgson. And that the whole thing was over in like 90 seconds. Everybody was in cuffs. And of course, it became a big political thing. The Attorney General at the time, Maura Healey, really political, right? We know that about Maura. And she wanted to get rid of Tom Hodgson, so she conducted an investigation. The Biden administration, everyone wanted to get rid of Tom on the Democrat side. He was the most significant figure prior to Donald Trump. Remember a time before Donald Trump was elected? It's hard because he's really a big deal, obviously, as the president. Tom Hodgson was the most significant obstacle to illegal alien invasions in America, and particularly in Massachusetts. Tom Hodgson, as sheriff, was a major impediment to the plans of the Democrats. Okay? They had to get rid of Tom to conduct their invasion. They did. They had to get rid of Tom to conduct the invasion, to influence congressional districts, the census, all of that stuff. Tom Hodgson was the most significant public figure in the way of the invasion. They had to get rid of Tom. Okay? They had to. Thank God it was only an election. Thank God they did it with an election. And look, here's my opinion. The government is generally better off settling a lawsuit. When I got elected selectman in Freetown, and not just me in Freetown, but everybody, when they get elected, they come in to lawsuits. They've inherited lawsuits. That's just the way it is, right? That's just the way it is. You get elected selectman in Fairhaven, there's lawsuits pending. You get elected to the planning board, there are lawsuits pending. Every municipality has lawsuits pending. Regional school districts, vocational districts. You get elected to that school committee or appointed, you're going to inherit a lawsuit. You get elected sheriff, you're going to inherit lawsuits. You become the mayor, there are lawsuits. You get the point? So, and then in my opinion, because I did it, I settled a lot of them together with my colleagues on the Board of Selectmen in Freetown. It is the way it goes, right? It's the way it goes. And it's sometimes easier to settle a lawsuit when you're not really involved in it, that you merely won an election and inherited it from the guy either you beat, or you just happen to, you know, it wasn't even that you beat him. It was that it was an open seat. You came in. I mean, that happens. But the government goes on, right? That's the beauty of America. Government goes on. I don't know specifically, but I can imagine they're over now. But I can imagine that John Mitchell, when he came into office, inherited lawsuits, probably going back to Rosemary Tanney. I don't know exactly, but I mean, that's just how it is. When I got elected in Freetown, we had a lawsuit. I was deposed. Just happened to inherit it. They were asking me about 1968. Okay? They were asking me about things that happened in 1968. And I replied to the lawyer, 1971. And he goes, what? I go, you took my date of birth at the start of the deposition. I was born in 1971. How could I have any knowledge of what happened in 1968? Right? My parents lived in Manhattan in 1968. Certainly not Freetown. All right. We got a bunch of people on hold. I see you there, but I do have to take a break. We'll take a break, and then we'll be back. Stick around.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. You know, when drains back up or septic systems fail, stress really hits fast. At Bass Ready Rooter, we know you're not just calling for service. You're calling for peace of mind. Since 1974, that's when Gerald Ford was president, 1974, our family-owned team has been delivering fast, same-day solutions all across southeastern New England. With over 700 five-star Google reviews, customers say we are professional, clean, and relentless until the job is done. Bass Ready Rooter. We may not be your first call, but we'll always be your last. Visit bassready.com or call 508-995-8012. I believe we have Sheriff Paul Heroux here on hold. Good morning, Sheriff. How are you?
Hey, Chris, how's it going?
Great, great. I'm glad you called in. Sheriff.
Yeah, I was taking some questions if you have any.
Sure. Well, let me ask you a question totally off topic.
Yeah.
There's a story out, our friend Ted Nesi, about a poll being conducted. Are you considering running for Congress again?
I keep getting asked this. I've been asked this for the last 13 years. I've never not been thinking about it. And, you know, so that's something I've always thought about all along. So there's nothing, there's no news on that issue right now. A poll was done and I got a phone call for the poll myself. And, you know, it was, it wasn't just me in the poll. There was also like talk about issues. There was talk about Ed Markey and Moulton and Ayanna Pressley. So it was, I've thought about that every day for the last 13 years. There's never been a day I'm not thinking about that.
We're speaking with Sheriff Paul Heroux. Sheriff, do you know who paid for that poll?
Do I know who paid for it? No, I don't have anything to do with the, you know, anything going on, you know, with like, you know, any campaigns. I'm actually at the jail right now, my office, doing my job.
So you don't know who paid for that poll?
No, I don't have anything to do with it.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough. So let's pivot back to the lawsuit. So you inherited this lawsuit. It was up to you, or did you have to work with the attorney general and the governor's office to settle this? Or was it solely your decision?
Solely my decision, yes. Okay.
And what motivated you to settle it?
Okay, so we had the lawsuit. We have to deal with it.
Yes.
And, you know, we can't ignore it. There's no way just, you know, make it go away. Whether or not, like it was politically motivated or if it was just mismanagement of the contract, that's irrelevant. You know, none of that matters. What matters is we have to deal with the, the lawsuit. So there's three ways to get to, finish of this. And that is to end the whole thing. We can go ahead and, fight it. We can go to trial. And if we win, great, wonderful. But if we lose, the employees who were, named as co-defendants, and Tom Hodgson was one of them, they would have been on the hook for paying whatever award the jury awarded the plaintiffs in this case. And the reason for that is because both the state government and the federal government washed their hands of this whole thing because they, they pointed their finger at each other. The state government said, the jail was acting as a agent of the federal government. The federal government says, the jail was, the federal government says the jail was like a state entity, and the state says that the jail was operating as a federal agent of the federal government. So they basically both passed the buck. So if we lost all of those co-defendants, even with a homestead, they could have lost their homes, and their wages could have been garnished. So I didn't want to take a gamble on that, on losing and having them. So I went ahead and I settled it. So we spent $200,000 of taxpayer money just on the legal fees alone to get to the settlement. Now, people might say, oh, my God, that's outrageous. Well, it was a big case. There was a lot to it. There was a lot of plaintiffs, a lot of co-defendants. So, but if we had gone to trial, we would have spent another probably $800,000 anyway. Might have been $700,000, $600,000, $900,000. But let's just say it might have been around $800,000. That was what we were estimating. So whether we settled for $800,000 or gone to trial for $800,000, we were going to pay $800,000. And if we had lost, again, the jury could have awarded. There was a $10 million lawsuit. That's what they asked for. But the jury could have awarded them $20 or $30 million because there's no cap on civil damages. You might remember, Alex Jones with InfoWars. He ended up getting nailed with almost a $1 billion civil lawsuit. So I don't think this would have been quite that. But, but that's what we're looking at. We had three options: to win in court, to lose in court, or to just settle and make it go away. And settling and making it go away is not an admission of guilt, to be clear. It's not an admission of any wrongdoing on the part of the BCSO. It was just a kind of routine settlement.
We're speaking with Sheriff Paul Haru, Bristol County Sheriff. He just settled a lawsuit. So, Sheriff, help me out here. I thought, or I assumed, that the sheriff, either you or Tom Hodgson, would be indemnified along with the employees from particularly illegal aliens suing you. But that's not the case, I'm understanding?
Yeah, that's not necessarily the case. I actually have my general counsel right here who, he's standing next to me. He could answer that. He's a former prosecutor. Now he's sure, the general counsel. Yeah, he can probably answer that much better than I could.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you? And your name,
I'm
sir?
Good. Michael Donovan.
Michael Donovan. Yes. I asked the sheriff, I don't know if you heard it, about, I have always assumed that sheriffs, the employees of the sheriff's office were indemnified from lawsuits and the verdicts in lawsuits. Explain that, why they're not.
So it's kind of a complicated question, but it's governed by statute. And it works differently whether you have a claim in tort or a claim of constitutional violations. And here you had both. The answer to your question is yes. Usually the sheriff's office or the state would indemnify its employees, but that's not 100% true all the time, depending on the nature of the claims and the nature of liability. And if it's a tort claim, it's capped at a certain amount. But if it's a constitutional violation claim, it's not. So while the risk is relatively low, it's not non-existent, and it's something that you need to think about when you're trying to figure out how to resolve these cases.
Yeah, no, I understand. We're speaking with the general counsel at the sheriff's office. So did you advise the sheriff on settling this?
Well, we all had a conversation ourselves, the sheriff, the outside counsel that we retained, as he discussed. And, you know, one of the things that goes into the decision to settle any case is you look at the likelihood of success on the merits, and you look at the, you know, your possible worst case scenarios and the likelihood of other things playing out. And it tells you something about what we thought of our case, where the claim was $10 million, and we ultimately end up settling for about $800,000, right? That tells you something about what we thought about the case. But as the sheriff just told you, sometimes you reach a situation where the cost of settling is somewhat equivalent to the cost of litigating it in the first place.
Yes.
But what you're doing is removing all the risk of liability. And that's, I think, what the one of the most important factors here was.
Yeah, no, I understand that. And I think that's an excellent point to make. Because, again, Attorney Donovan, as I was explaining to my audience, anytime you get into government, elected, appointed, there are always lawsuits going on against the government, local, state, federal. There's always lawsuits going on. So you do inherit, though, and you have to make a decision, right?
Yeah, I'm just Paul again. And yeah, we inherited probably over 20 lawsuits. I think it was about 23 lawsuits when I took over. And, you know, some of these are, you know, still ongoing, but I'm not even sure how many of them, like the exact number, but some of them we've cleaned up. But this was probably the biggest, most high profile one.
Paul, Sheriff, I appreciate you giving us a call here. We're out of time, but I'll get you in. I'll text you. We'll figure it out because this is a fascinating case, fascinating development.
Yeah, sure. Happy to talk anytime, Chris.
All right. Thanks. Thank you, my friend. And that was Sheriff Paul Haru. I got to take a break. We'll be right back. Stick around. For a used car, you don't have to do all that. You don't have to work your whole life. You don't have to do any of that. You just go to Mac Auto Sales, 188 Rivet Street in the great city of New Bedford. They have great used cars available and aftermarket accessories. And they also winterize cars. See how it's getting cold outside? You got to winterize your car. Get it over to Mac Auto Sales. Make an appointment today, 508-565-6221. They're open weekdays 9 to 5. You have a foreign car, that's perfect. Mac Auto Sales specializes in servicing foreign-made automobiles. Tim has a foreign-made automobile. He brought it to Mac Auto Sales, and today it rides like new. Trust me, I ride in it every day. I'll be riding in it later today. They also take care of the WBSM van. So why not your vehicle as well? Get your car to Mac Auto Sales today or sometime this week. You don't want to go through the winter with a car that's not been winterized, right? That's not good. Okay, we'll have the mayor of New Bedford here at 11 o'clock. Next hour will be open phones. What's on your mind? I want to hear about it. If you want to call in and ask me to figure out, because maybe you don't have access to the internet,